In previous episodes of the podcast, I've talked a lot about the concept of a lack of purpose. And I really believe that right now we suffer from what you could call a crisis of a lack of purpose. And I think it's what's making people truly unhappy in life. So today, that's what we're going to talk about in this episode.
Are you an entrepreneur, creative pro, or in a transition to becoming one? Welcome to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast, where it's all about enabling you to develop the skills and mindset encouraging success and helping you to thrive with everything you do. And of course, helping you create something awesome today. And now your host, creative entrepreneur and founder of Awesome Creator Academy, Roberto Blake.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is Roberto Blake helping you create something awesome today. Something that I've been thinking a lot about, and I've been enjoying our conversations in the podcast and the feedback from all of you, especially in social media, in Twitter and in Instagram. Something that I've really been wanting to talk to you about is the concept of a lack of purpose being the crisis of our times. Right now, we see a lot of conversation about social media and is social media ruining us, the attention, the validation, the depression and anxiety, the comparing, the keeping up with the Kardashians, all of it. And I've brought these topics up because I think that they're just symptoms of this larger overarching problem that isn't even limited to this era or this generation, but I think it's more pronounced because we're all more connected. So we're all having these conversations and we're talking about this more. And I really feel that it comes down to a lack of purpose. And I think this has been even perpetuated by older generations. I'm an older millennial, and this isn't to throw shade at boomers or Gen X, but I feel that a lot of people from older generations, you'll hear often some rhetoric around the tune of things like the concept of get a real job for people that might be in this ecosystem of either entrepreneurship, digital online business, content creation, the arts, things of that nature. People say get a real job. And what do they mean by that? I've literally had people tell me that, well, a real job is manual labor. It's backbreaking work. And my counter to them is, then you don't think Wall Street's a real job. Then you don't think being a CEO is a real job. And then they go and they backpedal. But it's like what they mean is they're trying in many cases to devalue people to make themselves feel better about the fact that they're doing a manual labor job or they're doing backbreaking labor. And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with doing that if you enjoy it. I told you my father was a mechanic in the Marine Corps. He liked working with his hands. It was something that was gratifying to him, and it made him feel very good to do that. But when he moved to working behind a desk and doing logistics and using his mind, he felt very good about that. He still did that mechanic work on the weekends because that felt personally gratifying, but then also professionally gratifying. He also liked using his mind and his head for numbers, and he took pride in his education. So, because he worked very hard for that. And it's not an opportunity that coming from Panama, a lot of people got in order to go on to higher education. So he takes tremendous pride in that. But that doesn't take away from, and something that I always appreciate is he didn't devalue my creative ability just because I didn't necessarily choose to do something where I always work with my hands in that way or do something more menial or, you know, something more manual. So like there's a self-awareness issue that leads to kind of the need to validate yourself through the opinions of others. And there's also a lack of self-confidence there. And I think it comes down to the fact that when you have a higher level of self-awareness, you know who you are and you are confident in who you are. For one thing, you judge other people less and you are less concerned with what other people do. People who are much more rooted in their individual identity, their individual identity, if it's like kind of the most powerful defining aspect of them, they are less concerned about what other people think of them, number one. Number two, they're less emotionally invested in the lives of others. They don't worry about, you know, gossip and drama and things of that nature. They're also very self-determined and focused. They internalize things a lot more and they're very driven. And they know what they want to achieve and what they have to do in order to accomplish it. And this might sound like, you know, this imaginary one percenter type person, but that potential and possibility exist for everybody, but they've been inundated with bad habits from watching what's quote unquote normal. The people around you, there's this mantra that says you are the five people you spend time with, right? You know, if you hang around five successful and wealthy people, you will be the sixth. If you hang around, you know, five people who are undisciplined and disorganized and self-destructive, you will be the sixth. And it's just the truth. To be very real with you, it's just the truth, because we mimic behavior from our earliest days in childhood. We mimic and we learn behavior, and success breeds success in that way. And there are obviously exceptions to every rule, but if you are around people, you change your standard usually to match or exceed the people around you. It's why people get accountability partners and they go and they work out and they go to the gym. It's why people sometimes like to date people that might have commonality in terms of maybe you share something in terms of your ideals, your ambition. Some people gravitate toward, they want to feel accepted culturally. So sometimes they navigate toward people within their culture, or they find that their personal values as an individual don't exist within a lot of the people in their culture. And so they date or marry into another culture that they feel aligns more with their interest and what they as a person care about. And so we seek to have a form of reinforcement for what's in our gut. You know what I mean? We want something that doesn't go against the natural grain of who we are. The problem is that society in many cases puts us in situations where we make less than optimal choices and we compromise on our personal values, our personal standard, our personal integrity. And why do we do that? Well, when it comes to your job, the way that you make your living, the way that you make the money that allows you to survive, you compromise sometimes your values, your personal integrity, and your personal desires, your creativity, or even your individuality for the sake of performing your work so that you can continue to make your living. Now, when that's taken out of the equation and you don't have to do that, you find that you are reinforcing more of your individuality. And I give you a primary example of this. If we talk about the good fortune of people who sometimes are born into a good family or born into wealth or privilege, well, they don't have to make suboptimal choices, meaning that we take that as, well, you can do whatever you want. And it's true, because it means that there's not an option that's being compromised by need or by scarcity or by lack, because you have abundance. When you have abundance, you don't have to make less than optimal choices. And that doesn't mean that you necessarily have unlimited choice. It just means that you have less reason to compromise. Compromise would be a matter of expedience or convenience, not a matter of you had to, or you were forced to, or there were options that you were limited by, right? So when you put that into perspective, look at society and look at where you might be or where your friends or your family might be, and then think about how many choices you made that had nothing to do with what you want or nothing to do with who you are, but everything to do with what was necessary given the options or situation that you were presented with. And so when you think about making suboptimal choices, this is where people become stripped down in terms of their identity, is that you're not making choices that have anything to do with who you actually are, your standards, your integrity, your interest, you know, what you want, you know, your actual sense of being. And that diminishes your sense of self-worth, your confidence, and it makes it very hard when that happens for you to find your place in the world, because you're not doing things with a sense of purpose. You're doing things because you feel you have to, or you're compelled, or because it's a matter of survival. When you remove that from the equation, you start to understand, ideally, who you actually are. When I allow you to say, well, what would you do if there are, you know, if all the options are available to you, you start to think about it. When I ask people, tell me how you would spend, you know, $100,000. Tell me how you would spend $1 million. It starts to reveal things about your wants, your needs, your desires, your character. It's like, I go, well, what if all your circumstances are taken? What if living expenses are taken care of? What do you do? What do you invest in? What do you spend your time on? And a lot of people are challenged by this because then they're like, well, I don't know what I want, Roberto. Most people, if put to the test, cannot tell me what they actually want from life. They cannot tell me how they would spend 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years if I granted them eternal youth and strength. They cannot tell me what they would do with it. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they want. They don't know what their purpose is. And it's because most of their time and energy is spent making compromises that have nothing to do with who they actually are. The lack of self-discovery that people don't take the time for, but then invest in escapism. I talked about in a previous episode that people invest in escapism instead of investing in their skills or investing in their ambition or investing in their dream, right? You won't invest in yourself, but you'll invest in your escapism. And part of the investment of yourself is taking the time to find out what it is that you actually love, what you actually would sacrifice for aside from survival. Outside of survival, what is it that you are willing to bleed for? That tells you a lot about who you are. And that's part of discovering your purpose and what fulfills you and what makes you feel gratified. There are people who in the past have criticized me about the talk of pursuing your passion and the fact that doing work that you hate or that you don't love or that sucks. Like, I've talked about how impractical that is, and I've had people give me backlash for that. They say, and it's usually somewhat older people, and they're like, well, not everyone can do what they like or what they love or whatever. It's like, I call BS on that because it's true that a lot of people don't do what they like and don't do what they love. But to suggest that, oh, well, everybody can't just do that, that's resigning people to settling for a mediocre existence just because maybe you did it or because a lot of people you know did it. And I'm suggesting that it's possible that those people thought they didn't have a choice, but it's also possible that introduced to some different ways of thinking, or if they had had a mentor, or if somebody had helped them think it through, that they would have found that there might have been more options that they overlooked because of the pressure and the anxiety and the stress blinds you to other choices and options. We make suboptimal choices. You know why hindsight is 20/20? Hindsight is 20/20 because almost every single one of us can look back at a decision we made and said, you know, now that I've had a few years to look back, or now that I'm older and wiser, that wasn't the best choice. I could have made better choices. There were so many other options. There were so many things I could have done that would have had a better outcome, right? So why do we romanticize and rationalize this idea that, you know, not everybody can do blah, 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 when in 10 years, they're all going to look back and said, yeah, I could have chosen something else, or I could have done better. Oh, if I had only known this, it would have made the difference. Why not instead we consider the fact that we need to get more people moved up in the curve in terms of, you know what, let me elevate you to a point that right now you can't see because of where you are. Can't we expedite getting that 5 years of hindsight, like in the next, you know, 5 days, just by being able to make more optimal choices and being more educated, being more informed? And I know we can't snap our fingers and have that happen. I'm just making a point that we have a society that conditions us to believe that sometimes that this is the best we can do, and to not tap into our full potential in exchange for making suboptimal choices that we feel compelled to do. And sometimes we're cheated out of thinking that we have the right to ask for more or to work for more, believe it or not. We settle all the time. We settle all the time, and there are choices we don't even realize are right there for us. And when we find out, a lot of times we feel tricked, we feel cheated, we feel betrayed. And I'll give you a primary example right now that probably is very real to many of you. Debt and student loans. How many of you look back and realize that to make the money that you make right now, or to work in the field or the industry that you work in right now, that going into massive debt was not necessary to achieve the exact same results and same outcome. But you only have that with hindsight. How many of you feel lied to, tricked, duped, and betrayed by every single person who was so adamant and insistent that the only way you were going to have a better life was to go into debt to get this piece of paper, to get this degree, to get this accreditation? And how many times have you basically had that thrown in your face because that's what somebody else did, you know, or that's what somebody else thought, you know, was the right thing for you? And you never questioned whether or not this was right for you based on who you actually are. Are you someone who actually learns by sitting in lectures and taking notes and learns best through reading comprehension? Because if you are not, I can tell you that traditional education in college may not be for you. If you're someone who like learns by doing and learns by working with your hands or learns based on visual spatial diagrams and information, the reality is that the current traditional education system wasn't designed for you. It wasn't designed with you in mind. There are a lot of people that have learning styles that don't fit within the conventional norms, and yet they have the conventional norms thrust upon them. And because they lack confidence and self-awareness and an outlet and known viable options, they make suboptimal choices leveraged by popular opinion. I want you to really think about that. How many of your choices are a matter of you being leveraged by other people and not trusting your own experiences, your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own sense of self? You're trusting other people more than you trust yourself. How many of the bad choices in your life, how many of your regrets have to do with the fact that you didn't listen to your own best instincts and you didn't go off of your own experience and you trusted other people to know what was right for you? I really want you to let that one sink in for a minute. Now, you're not always going to be right and you don't know everything. But if you've taken the time to become educated, if you've taken the time to become self-aware, if you've taken the time to really think about what you want, it's very hard to, at least for me, it's very hard to think that somebody else knows better for you. Now, there are obviously some exceptions there. And what I will say is that I think exceptions are if it's an area where you have no expertise or no experience, then that's different. Okay. If it's an area where you need somebody qualified, for example, to like make a medical decision, but even with that, take it all with a grain of salt because you might know your body better than somebody else too. So just kind of be, again, self-aware and put things in perspective and don't deal in absolutes. Don't deal in absolutes. Hell, even take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. My goal here is to make you think, not to change your mind, but to make you think. I'm not here to change anybody's mind. I'm not here to warp your perspective. I'm here to make you think more deeply, to make you think harder, to make you think intentionally. For the love of God, think for yourself. I cannot stress that enough. So, you know, to bring this back, what I really am looking at when I talk about our crisis of purpose, you know, some people go through a crisis of faith, which is, you know, when you have this lack of faith and you're at a crossroads. I believe that not only my generation, but I believe everyone living in this current era is suffering the symptoms and the weight of a lack of purpose, not knowing who you are, what you want, and how to achieve and execute and live to your maximum potential. And I think that a lot of it goes back to what I was talking about with individual identity, the fact that people are being stripped of their individuality. We have a world where you can't really look around and tell me that you honestly believe that people have invested in their critical thinking skills. And that sounds very reductive on my part. It sounds very condescending. I know it sounds egotistical, but I cannot softball this. I can't do it and look myself in the mirror with a straight face. People are not invested in critical thinking. People are reactionary, and people say people say every damn fool thing that pops into their head without a second thought. And I know that makes me sound ancient. I'm only 35 and I sound like a grumpy old man here, but it's just the reality. And I don't entirely blame people for that. I think it's conditioning. I think that we've abused some of the luxuries of our era when it comes to the ability to express ourselves without thinking that just because we can doesn't mean we should. I think that people aren't thoughtful enough in their actions and their communications. They're not acting intentionally. What do I mean by acting intentionally? Because people lack a purpose, an overarching goal for them to achieve through their daily actions and throughout their lifetime, their actions are haphazard, reactionary, and thus squandered. And that's very inefficient. If you told me personally that your goal and ambition for this year was that you wanted to make $250,000 this year, and I'm your friend or I'm your mentor, I'm someone in your ecosystem, and I see your actions day to day not reflecting what I know or what we've determined or what you've said leads to $250,000 a year, and you're half-assing it and you're doing things that clearly are not making your goal a priority, I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to gut check you. I'm going to hurt your feelings because I'm going to feel like you lied to me and you lied to yourself if I'm your friend, because your actions, you're not backing them up. You're not putting your effort where you're not putting your money where your mouth is, in the sense of you're not putting in the effort. You're not putting in the work. You talk a big game about wanting to be a successful person and being a baller, and you're not doing it. If you told me that you want to be a content creator for a living, and then I don't see you hustling, I don't see you executing, and I see you making excuses to justify your escapism, I'm going to hold you accountable, or I'm going to stop having those expectations for you, and I'm just going to think that you're full of it. And I'm going to write you off, and you're going to feel upset, and you're going to feel like I'm being unfair to you. But the reality is you're the one being unfair to yourself, because you're not living up to the promises that you made to yourself. We have to make commitments to ourselves, and we have to honor the commitments that we make to ourselves. And it's easier to do that when you have a definitive purpose. When you have a definitive purpose that governs your actions, that governs who you promised yourself you would be, when you're acting and standing in the power of that identity and you move accordingly, things happen for you. When you don't, all there are is excuses. All there are excuses. Anything that is not an execution is an excuse. Anything that is not an execution is an excuse. If you are not moving with a purpose, if you are not moving intentionally toward your clearly desired, clearly stated goal, then anything that you say to rationalize that is an excuse. And that might sound like more quote unquote hustle porn. And I'm sure I'm going to get some jackhole that wants to tell me about myself for that one. But I would tell you that if you were an artist, if you were a musician, if you were an athlete, if you were those people, give everything. They give everything to their profession. They give everything to it because it's their identity. They are a violinist. They are a pianist. They are a gymnast. They are a weightlifter. They are a tennis pro. They are a golfer. That is their core identity in their heart and in their soul. And they are willing to pay any price to honor that. Any price. So for you to say you want something, for me, I feel like that's a commitment. I feel like word is bond on that. I feel that if you name yourself and then you don't honor that, you're a liar. And it's not about you lying to me. It's about you lying to yourself. And how do you live with that? And I think that the reason people are so unhappy, no matter how much money they make or how little money they make, I think a lot of it has to do with not honoring the name that they took for themselves in their heart. They know who they're supposed to be in their heart. Your heart knows. I know that sounds really hokey, but your heart knows who you're supposed to be. You know what someone told me once? Someone told me once that what hell is, if you believe in the afterlife, is the person you are meets the person that you could have been. And that's what hell is. And I think about that almost every day. Almost every day, the reason I don't worry about what any of you do, the reason I'm willing to tell you pretty much any and all of my secrets is because I'm not competing with you. I'm not worried about you taking from me. There is only one person that I'm competing with, future Roberto, Emperor Roberto. That is the idealized version of myself in my mind. And I'm trying to close the gap between who I could be 20 years from now and cut it down to 10. Who I could be 10 years from now and cut it down to 5. I want to become so powerful that if I met a future version of myself, that within moments of meeting that future version of myself, I want to immediately surpass that guy. I want to punch him in the face. I want to beat the hell out of the future version of myself in a duel. And like be standing on top. I want to surpass my future self that quickly, that definitively, and say, oh, I guess there's another version of the timeline now. And that's kind of a meta joke for any of you who are like sci-fi nerds like me, or you're into anime or anything like that. Essentially, if any of you are listening in the audience, probably my favorite personal anime series of all time is a series called Fate Stay Night. And spoiler alert, to some extent, the main protagonist at some point ends up in a duel with a future version of himself in which he's forced to surpass a potential future version of himself. And I keep thinking about that, and that's what I want. I want to surpass all expectations of myself. I want to completely break time and space and get to a place that no other version of me ever could. Now that's ambitious right there. That's audacious. That might be, you know, borderline delusional. I don't know, but it's exciting. I get excited just thinking about the thrill of being ahead of schedule, of keeping that commitment to myself. And it's interesting. A lot of the goals I set for myself in life, I achieve them sooner than my own projections of them because of what I'm willing to give in order to achieve that outcome, what I'm willing to leave behind in order to achieve that outcome. And again, that's what makes me happy. What makes me happy is not weekends on the beach or 2 weeks of vacation or any of that. What makes me happy is that every day I can do what I want. I can make what I want. I can take a thought and turn it into a thing. What makes me happy is the idea that maybe this becomes a daily podcast. Do you realize how happy I would be to know that I can afford to possibly talk to you every single day and share my thoughts and share my experiences and put this on the record and possibly impact your life in a meaningful way? And so that's kind of like what fascinates me, is being able to do meaningful work. There's nothing wrong, and I hold nothing against people who have to work for their living or for their survival. I did it. The issue I have is the fact that I wasn't satisfied with that at all. I wanted more, and I was unhappy in many cases because it wasn't meaningful for me. It wasn't meaningful for me. It's great to be able to take care of yourself or provide to your family, but you're still a human being. You still have a heart and soul. You can't live like that indefinitely. In many cases, there's a part of your heart that wants what it wants. And it deep down, it wants to do something meaningful because you have an identity. You have a promise to yourself that you're not keeping. And I really want you to like just really think about that for a moment. If money were no object and you were going to be taken care of in terms of your basic human needs, Maslow's hierarchy, you're safe, you're secure, your food's taken care of, your shelter's taken care of, you got internet and electricity. What do you do with yourself for the rest of your life? And again, I know there's some people are going to say, well, I would be lazy and I would play video games, but that's not true. That's not true because that's not how you're going to want to be remembered. That's not how you're going to want to be thought of. That's not how you're not going to feel great about that looking in the mirror unless it's true, unless that's what you want to do. And there's a deeper meaning in that for you. And there could be. I have nothing against anyone who wants to be an esports champion because it's about them testing their skills and their reaction time and their mental fortitude, and they take genuine pleasure in that ability. Like, in my mind, that's valid. In my mind, that's valid if that's who you are, if that's who you actually are. But it might not be, and you might think it's who you actually are because you admire someone who's like that and you aspire to have their lifestyle. And I think that's part of the issue with social media is right now is that one of the symptoms of social media and this whole keeping up with the Kardashians or keeping up with YouTubers or Instagrammers or streamers, a lot of it comes down to people think that they want to be that because what they really want is that person's lifestyle, or they think they want that person's lifestyle because they've never lived it. They've never lived with a person like that. They've never seen it truly up close to understand it, to say that that's what they want. It's kind of like this whole, we'll get a real job thing. If somebody says, we'll get a real job, and then they actually walked in the shoes of the person that they're talking to, they might reconsider what quote unquote a real job is when they see how smart that person has to be. Like, I'll give you content creators as an example, and this might be a dedicated episode in the future, but content creators have to be script writers, SEO specialist, a lot of times key light and best boy grip, audio technicians, video producers, video editors, photographers. If you're a female content creator, hair and makeup specialist, wardrobe specialist, for all of us, set designers, it's not one real job, it's 10 real jobs that people specialize in. Often people get degrees in any one of these tasks to be this good at it. And most of these people are self-taught and self-disciplined. And instead of punching a clock and working from 9 to 5, they work 12 hours sometimes in a day, and sometimes not even to produce a result, just to get a little bit better at their craft. But they're going to be demeaned and devalued by someone who says, well, get a real job, when that person who has a quote unquote real job isn't even happy doing what they're doing. There's a misery loves company kind of thing. Now, if you are happy doing what you're doing, that's great. Enjoy your happiness. But don't necessarily try and graft or assert that your situation, that everybody should do what you're doing. Not everybody should be a content creator. I'll say it. Not everybody should be a content creator. Not everyone should be an entrepreneur. Could more people do that though? Yes. And are there people who have been told, well, everybody can't be that, that now believe that, who were really meant for that, and are denying themselves their true identity, denying themselves their destiny, because somebody who doesn't know them and doesn't know better told them that they weren't good enough? Like, chew on that one for a little bit. How many great people has the world been denied because somebody who settled told them they weren't good enough? I want you to think about that. Think about how many times that's probably happened to me. I've had the privilege to help hundreds of thousands of people, even just one time, because I had the audacity to listen to myself and to believe in myself and prove everybody else wrong. Like, all, every one of these, everybody who was ever a bully to me, every teacher who wrote me off, every jackhole who like thought less of me, everyone who ever looked down on me was wrong. And if I had let them get to me, I would have denied value to hundreds of thousands of people over the years. That's a big loss. You might be robbing people of value because you refuse to honor the promise of your potential and because you are still suffering from a lack of purpose. Because you won't be honest with yourself about who you really are. You won't honor your God-given gifts. You won't take the risk, and you're settling because you're scared. You're scared that you might fail. You're scared that you might be rejected. You're scared that you might be one more wannabe. You're scared that you might add something to what you consider to be the trash heap. And that fear and that lack of faith and your lack of belief in yourself is robbing the world of the value that you could provide. You are robbing people of your gifts. You are squandering your gifts. And in my mind, to some extent, I find that to be almost unforgivable. And it's why I give my former self such a hard time. And I try to be patient with people and to not judge them or be harsh with them just because of how angry I am with myself for all the years that I squandered my God-given gifts. All the years that I wasn't true to myself, all the years that I let people get in my head are my deepest regrets in life. And I spend the reason I hustle and work so hard to the point to where people think I'm fanatical is that it's my version of repentance. it's my penance. It's my penance for the sin of squandering my gifts. And I'm happy to, I'm happy that this is my quote unquote, this is my life sentence. My life sentence is honoring my gifts. My life sentence is fulfilling my purpose. My life sentence is writing my own destiny. I think I got off pretty well. I think I got off pretty easy. Yeah, I have a very nice warden. Like, that's a little deep, but like, I really wanted to kind of drive that home in terms of helping you understand what motivates and what drives me, and that it's not something, some overnight revelation. It's not something that I expect people to just wake up and get, but I'm hoping by listening to this that I can trigger something in you, because I feel that there are only a few moments and a few things that helped me come to understand myself better. And I think reading was a fundamental part of it. And there's some books that I would recommend for you in terms of just better habits in life. I recommend Free to Focus by Michael Hyatt. I'm going to link to this in the show notes for you. Also, if you want to get any books from Audible, feel free to use my affiliate link. It does help me out. If you go to robertoblake.com/audible, you can get a free trial. It's not a sponsor. You get a free trial. And you get up to two free audiobooks. And I'm going to recommend Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. Free to Focus by Michael Hyatt. I also would recommend Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. I think that these particular books could be life-changing for you. I know they certainly have had an impact on me, and I would really like to pass kind of that on to you. Now, something else I will say in terms of making a change for yourself is that changing your standards changes your life. I don't expect everybody to know their purpose and to have clarity on who they are right away, but there are steps you can take to self-awareness. And I think I do need to make a dedicated episode about the steps that you can take to be more self-aware. I want you to genuinely think about how you would spend 100 years. If I gave you 100 years of youth and strength, pretend for one moment that I'm like some kind of trickster deity, and that I tell you, what do you want to do for the next 100 years? And I'm going to give you youth and strength. And again, trickster deities, if you're not specific, it's a trap, right? So I want you to think about that. So I'm like, what do you want to do? Who are you? Like, I want you to think about that, because if you pick something because you think it's cool, it'll be a trap, you know, and you'll realize it's not. So I want you to think about, what could I do for the next 100 years and not be bored, feel gratified, fulfilled, satisfied, challenged, and it not become torture just because it's 100 years of doing this over and over and over and over again, right? And that's kind of how I came up with Create Something Awesome today, is like, what would I do for 100 years and not call it torture? And I said, well, I want to create awesome things. I'd really like to share them and put them out into the world. And I would love to teach other people that they can do that too. And that's all I really want from life. That's all I've wanted to do. And when I thought about that, this was actually how I kind of dealt with and turned the corner on my depression and my suicidal tendencies, was that by having that philosophy, create something awesome today. It's a mandate for success, and it's a mantra I tell myself, because it makes my day worthwhile to believe that I'm going to do something worthy of me, to create something awesome, something of value to me, possibly of value to other people, and then I'm going to put it out there, and then I'm going to honor my gifts and my potential, and that every day I can look forward to knowing that that's my agenda. That's my purpose. My purpose is to create something awesome today. My purpose is to create an awesome experience for my day-to-day life. My purpose is to create an awesome experience for the people that I interact with and be kind to them. My purpose is to pass on what I've learned. My purpose is to elevate the people around me. My purpose is to create new opportunities for myself and for others. My purpose is to create work that I'm proud of and that I find meaning in, that I'm happy to sign my name to and to take ownership of. That is what Create Something Awesome Today means. For me, Create Something Awesome Today is the cure to our crisis of purpose. It's the cure to our lack of faith in ourselves. It's the cure to all of our doubts and all of our insecurities, because it's very hard for those insecurities and those doubts to stand up to the work that we build day in and day out, the results that we produced and that we created by our own hand day in and day out will save us from our crisis of a lack of purpose and a lack of faith. and all of this anxiety and overwhelm that we're feeling, I think can be cured by our ability to tap into our divine power to create. And that's kind of where I think I want to leave this one. And I'd love your feedback on this podcast. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, do me a huge favor. Please leave a 5-star rating if you feel it deserves it. Please leave a review with your thoughts of the show. And please, please, please share this with as many people as possible, because I think it's a message that this era desperately needs. And I would really just appreciate that personally. If you guys want to continue this conversation, I would invite you to tweet at me at Roberto Blake in Twitter, or to hit me up, comment on my post and motivation stuff over in Instagram at Roberto Blake as well. And of course, you can watch my educational content on YouTube at youtube.com/RobertoBlake2. I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's something that I think I'll be revisiting from time to time again. But as always, I'd really love your thoughts and what other conversations we can have and what guest you would like me to invite here on the show. So, you know, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for spending this time with me. Now go out there and create something awesome today.
Thank you for listening to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast. Hungry for more creative and practical ideas? Why not visit createsomethingawesometoday.com and access all resources and links mentioned in today's show, as well as special bonus content that Roberto regularly crafts for you. Now, go create something awesome today. Createsomethingawesometoday.com.